everybody. Welcome to the last week of December, the last week of the year, and the last week of Star Wars stories. Welcome to The Awesome with Cody. I'm Cody, and we're going to wrap up this month, year, and topic with my favorite Star Wars story. Think of all of them, completely all of them. Is Star Wars Dark Disciple. So this story, what makes it awesome is it is in continuity. There's a lot of cool things about it, but the characters that are in it are a gentleman named Quinlan Voss, and then he partners up with it's a Asajj Ventress, but... So if you don't know who Asajj Ventress is, she is Count Dooku's former apprentice. She was betrayed by Dooku. He tried to kill her. She got away. Not exactly on the best speaking terms, as you can probably imagine. He also sent a bunch of his people to destroy her home and kill all her sisters. So it was pretty... savage of him to do, if you ask me. But the cool thing, I'll talk about the characters a little bit, and then I'll talk about the actual story some. So Quinlan Voss is a Jedi Knight. He is a essentially made into an assassin. So he basically, his job is to go undercover into crime syndicates and then eliminate them. He gets asked to do a lot of very bad things that would normally be against the normal rules and laws that the Jedi go against or go for. But he's more of like a black ops type of guy. So he's a Jedi Master. He never sits on the council. He's because of his actions and what he does, they don't really rely on him too much. And a lot of times they don't actually trust him, which is crazy because of the shit he does. But he is very powerful. He's one of the only Jedis to master both the light and the dark side, which is pretty cool. In this story, he goes deep undercover. Goes and learns the dark side of the Force from Asajj Ventress. They actually end up falling in love during this story. They basically, he goes to her. He's supposed to basically act like he's a assassin out of his own right, so a bounty hunter type thing. But then he eventually tells her that who he is and what his whole role is, and she goes full bore into it. She's, all right, let's go, let's take this dude down. She hates Dooku, so it's, you know, not uncommon or not a far stretch to believe that she would want to help him, because she's come close a couple times, but she keeps getting defeated, so she needs the help that he can handle. And he's very strong in the Force. On both sides, which is a shock to her and him. So basically, after becoming partnering up, I guess it should be the thing. But basically, so those are the two main characters. This takes place during the Clone Wars, obviously, because Dooku's still alive and he. Obviously, spoiler alert, dies at the end of the crumbling and the end of the Clone Wars after the Galactic Empire rises under Palpatine. This whole story, this is, again, I'm going to spoil a lot of this for you because I was told that, you know, that's what people want. Much like most of the Star Wars books, this particular book has a word crawl or opening crawl. If you're familiar with the movies, it's the where it says the title, Star Wars, whatever, the name of the movie. You know, episode 8, The Last Jedi, whatever it happens to be. This is basically what it says. For years, the galaxy-wide conflict known as the Clone Wars has raged. The struggle between the rightful government of the Galactic Republic and the Confederacy of Independent Systems has claimed the lives of untold billions. The Force-wielding Jedi from Lyndia, the guardians of peace in the galaxy, have been thwarted at nearly every turn by the Separatists and their leader, the Sith Lord Count Dooku. With the war showing no signs of ending and the casualties mounting each day, the Jedi must consider every possible means of defeating their cunning foe, whether some means are too unthinkable and some allies too untrustworthy has yet to be revealed. And so the story begins. So this is another book that is not completely narrative. It's got some first point of view, but it's mostly through Quinlan Voss. But for the most part, it's all narrative. So again, like, it's not all narrative. It's got a little bit of that, but it's mostly all just strictly narrative, like most of the Star Wars books are. In this, you meet there's a lot of cool stuff in this book that goes across all the canon stuff and all the other stories. You get to go to level 1313 on Coruscant, which is basically the level of the most villainous and scummy people. It's a lot of the bounty hunters are there. That's where you would run. That's where he basically goes to find, to inquire about Ventress's whereabouts. It's funny because he runs into a bounty hunter group who's actually run by Boba Fett, who's at this point a teenager, and he's already basically running a guild, as you could say, a little group of bounty hunters, which is pretty cool. But you get a little interaction where him and Quinlan don't really get along. There's some animosity there for sure. At one point, Quinlan locked Boba Fett in a trunk, container trunk, which is pretty funny. He was very, very mad at that, I found extremely funny. But in this story is also Obi-Wan Kenobi. You have Anakin Skywalker, Mace Windu, Yoda, all the classics, all the Jedi Masters are in there because they're still alive. So they basically go to him. And they basically, so you get to see Quinlan kind of in his undercover task. Basically, he's infiltrating with his part with one of his another Jedi Knight partner of his to bring down these black market people running a black market, and they basically go through and they kind of whoop ass and handle things, and then they bring him back. He reports to them, and then they give him the task to go and kill Dooku as any way possible, which is totally against the Jedi Order to kill like that. Because obviously that's what a lot of people are like. Oh, Anakin fell when he killed so and so, and he killed like a bunch of younglings. That's what really did it for me. I would think that's what did it, but whatever. He's not supposed to let anyone know what he's doing. He's supposed to be this, bounty hunter assassin. He's supposed to go undercover and find a way. So he makes this, they make this plan for him to go find Asajj Ventress, train with her, not so much train, that he's basically supposed to go there. She's supposed to help him track and find Dooku, and they're supposed to he's supposed to take him out. Well, he convinces her to train him at first because, again, he's undercover. He doesn't tell her who he is. They train. He learns all about the dark side of the Force, so much so that people, the Jedi believe that he's starting to kind of fall, and he's going to go the other way. He's going to turn. And in this story, he goes deep to, like, at one point he's running with Count Dooku, because at this point nobody knows Darth Sidious exists. This is how early this is in the Clone Wars. And so he hears this rumblings, and he's like, I think it's Asajj says there was someone giving Dooku commands, but no one knows who this is, and she was never, you know, privy to it. So he gets with Dooku eventually. There's a lot more to it. I mean, there's all this stuff. Like, you hear the back history of Asajj Ventress and how her family was killed. Her sisters, the Night Sisters, who are the witches, actually, oddly enough, if I'm not mistaken, they're the ones that same ones that convert the races that are Savage Opress and Darth Maul. Their race, they're actually created using these witches to actually create them. That's a whole thing that happened in the Clone Wars cartoons, but she belongs to this group of these women called the Night Sisters, and they're actually slaughtered by Dooku's men, which really pissed off Asajj Ventress. So basically they task Quinlan Vos for this last resort to basically take out Dooku in any means possible, as long as, you know, it doesn't really, you know, you're not taking out civilians and all that stuff like that. But he goes pretty far. He learns all there is about it. There's the way to kill people with the Force, and, you know, the choking and things like that. So, I mean, it's pretty interesting the way they do it. But there's a lot that kind of goes in between. There's this they go on a couple missions as he's training. There's a bunch of pretty cool lightsaber fights in it. Eventually, he makes this plan. He tells Obi-Wan that there's this third person besides Darth Maul, besides Dooku. There's another someone. They need to find out who it is. So he takes upon himself to go even deeper, and that's when he joins with Dooku, with Alpha Ventress, who basically, after several attempts on Dooku's life by Ventress, she actually goes to him and says, "Hey, you know, I'm mistaken. I believe this guy here can be your next Padawan, I guess you could say, this disciple." So they're gonna go with he's gonna go with Dooku, and then the Jedi show up, and they're gonna arrest him. So Quinlan breaks Dooku loose, essentially just proving to Dooku that he's not a Jedi and that he is truly on his side. And so they're on their way to go meet him, and then the Jedi are like, "Holy shit, like, we've fucked up. Quinlan has fallen to the dark side. We need to eliminate him and Dooku." So they send Obi-Wan and Anakin after him, and he tries to tell them that he's like, I haven't fallen. They're like, "No, there's just too much. Like, you're just too far. You're too deep." So when they go after him, they're out to kill. They're out to get him. I mean, they can capture him, they capture him, but he's just too powerful for even them. So he helps Dooku escape, and Dooku's like shackled at this point, I think. So he can't even really do much. But they break free. Quinlan's best friend, who is his undercover partner, he's this race of creature that has a stinger, but the thing is, it's this catch 22 type thing. If he uses it, the poison that he injects out through the stinger not only goes into his victim, but it goes into him, both basically giving them a death sentence each. And he sees his friend Quinlan has fallen, and he takes upon himself to go after him. And when he does, Quinlan dodges out of the way, and this dude ends up hitting another. I think he has a clone soldier. Killing a clone soldier, and of course killing him. And Quinlan's torn at this point. He's like, you know, shit, like, my best friend just tried to kill me, and now he's dead because of it. And it's pretty rough, dude. Like, it's rough to read. Because, like, it's sad, super sad. But he doesn't break character. He stays undercover, and he goes with Dooku, and they're going after Dooku's going to take him to see Palpatine. At this point, no one knows who that is, and no one knows who Darth Sidious is. So they're going, and so the they're going, and I can't remember what planet it is. Obi-Wan and Anakin catch up to him. They're going to get this ship that's going to bring him to Sidious. And before they can figure out who he is, like, you know, hear his name or whatever, because Dooku keeps referring to him as my master, or our master. So he, they go there. Obi-Wan and Anakin are almost catching up. They start this fight. So there's this big gun, this big laser fight or gunfight, shootout. Quinlan is protecting Sidious, or I mean Dooku. He finally figures out that, you know, he's not who he is, because he's pulling his punches, and Dooku can tell. So then Dooku changes on him, and he's gonna summon all of his might to just strike him down. Well, Saj sees this happening. She dives in the way, protects Quinlan from taking this lightning strike, essentially mortally wounding her. And it's vicious too, because like she gets hit, and it's so powerful and so heavy, it burns in the lightning into her skin, so it just tears open her skin. So she's got these lightning shaped wounds all over her body, and Dooku then uses that as a distraction to get away, escaping yet again another assassination attempt. And they eventually talk to Quinlan. He tells them exactly what happened. It's pretty crazy. So the cool thing about this, and essentially that's your story. There's a lot more to it, but I'm not going to go into all the detail. But the cool thing about this, so Quinlan Vos, he's actually been in the movies. He's been later on. He was in the Clone Wars cartoon fully, but when they went to pick this character, they were looking at characters that were already existing and just making a backstory for him. And the crazy thing was, Quinlan Vos is essentially made, his characterization is made of this background extra for Star Wars Episode 1. So if you watch Star Wars Episode 1, when Qui-Gon Jinn, young Anakin, and I think it's the part with Padme and everything, you see Anakin passing by this cantina, and it's in Mos Espa, which is the little town he lives in, and you see these dudes sitting around this table outside this bar or restaurant or whatever, and there's this dude with thick dreads and this yellow line tattoo across his face. He's just an extra in the background, but they picked this guy and then basically made him Quinlan Vos. And so the part you see, he's actually undercover, as you see right there in Episode 1, trying to infiltrate Sebulba's, I believe at that point he's trying to infiltrate Sebulba's black market stuff, where actually Anakin obviously is a slave. So it's pretty crazy. So that's how he came about. But he has all these abilities. I'm trying to see if I can find a list of them that are force abilities, but he's one of the only people who can do it. And it's like this tracking capability, and that's what makes him so good at it. But he has to be in tune with his target. Let's see, powers and abilities. Here we go. Quinlan Vos was renowned for his psychometry, an ability to sense the memories of other beings by touching objects that they had come in contact with. So he can use that and see the past through these objects, which is pretty crazy. But it helped him kind of become who he is, but he uses that ability to track people, because he's, oh, I know where he's come from, which is pretty cool. And later on in the whole story, the at one point, one of the reasons Voss goes after Dooku so heavy is he believes that Dooku's the person who killed Voss's master, late Jedi master. His name is Thalmez, I think it is what it is. Let me see if I can get to it. Here he comes. So at one point later on, Voss uses his psychometric powers to examine his late master Thalmez's lightsaber, which allowed him to identify Asajj Ventress as his master's killer. So essentially, he fell in love with the woman who ended up actually killing his master, which is, I mean, just sad in general, but super, super crazy to think about. So here's a blurb on his background. So behind the scenes, Quinlan Voss is based on a background character who appeared in the streets of Mos Espa in the 1999 film, the Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace. Written and directed by Star Wars creator George Lucas, the character was created based on his appearance by author John Orsted and an artist Jan Drusuma, I think his name is. Orstander created the character's name by patterning it off of Qui-Gon Jinn's name, as Orstander wanted to name with the same number of syllables. Voss went on to prominently appear in a number of the Star Wars Legends books, Star Wars Republic, as well as the cartoons. And of course, the background character was officially recanted as being Voss in the original Star Wars canon. But so, I mean, that's him, but it's pretty crazy that they just picked this dude as one scene. Like, this is going to be him. We're going to give him this huge backstory and all these abilities and all this nonsense. It's crazy to think about that. It's like, just randomly picked this dude. So, I mean, it's pretty intense. So the whole story is pretty awesome. I gave you the gist of it, but also ruined like all the big points to it. But Quinlan Voss is one of the only few. I think he's like one of four, one of five Jedis that have actually mastered the dark and the light side. Now, I don't know technically if in canon Luke is still one of them, because we don't know I have to look in the canon books and figure out which ones are which and see if any of the dark Jedi stuff is still in there. I don't think it is, because I don't think the Grey Order is part of it anymore. The Grey Order is the order of the Jedi that Luke later makes more redefining the Jedi Order, because he believes, just like in The Force Awakens, where there's some flaws, but he couldn't figure out what they are, and the non-canon stuff, the legend stuff, or expanded universe, he creates this order called the Grey Order, along with a couple other Jedi that he finds later on, and they basically allow certain things like marriage and kids, but it's like this moral code they go by, which is what the Jedi is based on, and not this being celibate and all this nonsense that's out there. I mean, they got ridiculous with it, and that's what they're talking about in The Last Jedi. If you haven't seen it yet, that's in there. Yoda shows up. Sorry if I spoiled that for you. And talks to Luke and tells Luke that, you know, these books that you have, they're not the end all be all. They're just the guidelines, just to help you understand what's going on with the Jedi and how we think. But over the years, the Jedi have lost their way and become very strict and kind of, you know, change the way that should have been, and it wasn't supposed to be that way. So that's why he allows the old tree to get destroyed. What Luke at the time thinks, well, I don't know. There's still debate if Luke put the books in the Millennium Falcon or Rey put the books in the Millennium Falcon. I mean, at one point, Luke thinks the books are still in the tree, so I think it was Rey that did it. But I don't know who it really was. We just know that they're in there. Because at one point she's in the drawer. She shuts it real quick. And then later on when Finn is looking for something to cover Rose up after she gets injured, he opens the drawer. He's rifling through and he closes it. You can see the books that are the Jedi books that are in there. So Who knows? Maybe we'll never know. They don't answer questions anymore in these movies. They just ask more of them. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it for Dark Disciple. I could probably go on longer and just like tell you all about it, but I think it's... Sorry, Tim. I think this is something you guys should read because they're fucking fantastic books. It's an amazing book. I really wish they had more of Quinlan. He kind of got asked out in the cartoon, if I remember correctly, but it's pretty amazing. Very powerful book. Very fun book. I highly recommend it. Just like I do all the books that I talk about this month. Very highly rated, too, which is pretty cool. It is written by Christy Golden, who's written a couple of different Star Wars books. She's written a lot of books, everything from Assassin's Creed to StarCraft books to Star Trek books to Star Wars books, obviously. World of Warcraft, she's very into the genre stuff. But yeah, she, if I'm not mistaken, she also wrote on the Clone Wars stuff too. I could be wrong about that too. I can't see if it's in her little bio here. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to look it up. But yeah, so that's Star Wars Dark Disciple. If you want a really good book that doesn't have to follow a Skywalker, you should check this one out, because I know a lot of people are like, what else is out there? What else can I read that's not like about Luke or whatever? This is one of the best ones. It's got lightsaber fights. It's got force fights. I mean, yawning in the middle of this? Good lord. There's all sorts of stuff in it. It's a lot of fun. It's a very touching book, too, as I said. But yeah, I mean, that's really it. I guess that's it for this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. I am Cody, and as usual, let's be awesome.